Colossians chapter 2 this evening. We're going to move on to verse number 7 and verse number 8. And I should be finished up here right around 6 o'clock. I know that'll be a blessing to all of you. Who's having somebody over? Anybody having anybody over? All right. Anybody going somewhere else to watch the game? Other than the bar, please. Okay. I know Wendy, games come on, they say free pizza down at the place, and she's running down to the bar. Yeah, children are here, you're going to have to keep a PG. Yeah, you're right. But hope you have a good time of fellowship tonight, and no matter what happens, God's good. So that's our comfort. Colossians chapter 2, and verse number 6 that we looked at this morning says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And what we said this morning was the importance of being planted in planting of the spiritual roots of our life. We've got to make sure there's the planting of our spiritual roots. When we talk about roots, we're talking about origins. We're talking about, if you're talking about your family, you're talking about your genetics, your heritage, your nationality, your ethnicity, those kinds of things. When we're talking about spiritually, our root is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, rooted and built up in Him, verse number 7. Rooted and built up in Him. Our root is Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth His fruit in His season, His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. If that is going to be the testimony of our life in 2017 and beyond, we've got to make sure we're rooted and built up in Christ. And we looked at verse number 6, and it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." And so this morning we said the planting of our spiritual roots begins with, number one, we must be planted in Christ. That's probably elementary, and that's probably very, very basic, but that's where it has to start. The Bible says, rooted and built up in Him, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the very most important thing in the life of a believer, the life of a person, a life of a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, a child, the most important thing is that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, to be planted in Christ. And secondly, this morning, we said, the Bible says in verse number 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus our Lord, so walk ye in Him." There must not only be a planting in Christ, but there must be also a pursuit of Christ. We must be pursuing Christ. And that pursuing can take so many different angles and so many different things. I love Matthew 13:8 where it says, "But other seed fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold." Where does the fruit come from? The seed that falls on good ground and good soil. And the Bible compares that good soil with our hearts. If our heart is pure, our heart is clean, our heart is Christ living in it as the Holy Spirit of God, if that seed of God's Word, as the Bible says, falls on a pure heart, on a clean heart, on a heart that is ruled by Christ and indwelt by Christ, a mind, a will, and emotions that is controlled and ruled by Christ because you have been planted in Him, then that pursuit of Christ is a very fruitful pursuit. And that's what we're talking about tonight, about being planted in Christ and then pursuing Christ. And then I want to talk about this tonight. I want to talk about the prevention of spiritual roots. We talked about the planting of spiritual roots and how important it is to be planted in Christ. And the Bible says, "And walk ye in Him and pursue Him," pursuing the things of God, pursuing Christ in church, pursuing Christ in your personal devotions. I tell people, time, place, and a purpose. Time, place, and a purpose. Pick a time every day to read your Bible and to pursue Christ. Make sure there's a place. You know, some people, sometimes at the kitchen table, sometimes in my bed, sometimes when I get a chance at the end of the day. Have a time, a place, and a purpose. And that place, a special place for you and the Lord. For me, if I stay at home and try to do my devotions at home, I just kind of sit there, and then my wife gets on the computer, and then somebody else distracts me, and I sometimes will walk in, and she's doing her devotions. She always does it on the couch. If you're looking at her couch, on the left-hand corner, I can hear reading the Bible. I can hear, I don't know what his name is, but somebody else sometimes, she'll have that person read the chapter from her phone, and she'll be following those things along and getting something out of her devotions. And I know her time, and I know her place, and I know her purpose in devotions, but it distracts me there. I have to get in my office, close my doors, and just get alone with the Lord and make sure that I'm ready for the day. And then there's a purpose. What's the purpose of meeting with the Lord? Sometimes people just read one verse or two verses, or they have a little card, or they'll read a little magazine article or something like that. And I say, you know, that's great. And that might be a little bit of nourishment from the Lord. But make sure there's a purpose to your Bible reading, to your devotions, to your prayer time. Is the purpose of praying just to for selfish things, of just getting through the day? Or is it just always about you? What's the purpose of your devotions? It's to draw nigh to God so that He'll draw nigh to you. And may that be our time, our place, and our purpose. You pursue Christ in 2017. Get a time, get a place, have a purpose, and make sure that you are pursuing Christ in devotions, pursuing Christ in prayer, pursuing Christ with your whole heart at every chance possible, so that you can grow those roots deep in Him. And then we see in verse number 7, it says, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. That's what this is all about in 2017. Why do we believe what we believe? Why we're going to be talking about standards this year, and we're talking, why do we have standards, and what should be the purpose of a standard, and how do you form your standards, and is it, somebody said at the luncheon this afternoon, my teenage life was spent somebody telling me what to believe, and now I feel like I'm in a place in my life where I need to know why I believe it. Is there a purpose to that? Is there a reason I have that standard? Does it guard me from something? Does it help me influence others with that standard? Is it a beacon to others that I can help them because of the standard I have? Or is it just the, as we say here in verse number 8, watch this, being established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. And that's the danger. The danger is there are preventions to spiritual roots. Every time you plant something, if you know anything about gardening at all, and I don't know a lot, I don't have a green thumb, I don't necessarily say that I'm really successful in planting or anything of that nature at all, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to learn that when you plant things, you've got to guard things. I remember years ago going out to Roger Rodman's house, to Brother Rodman, not Roger Romans, Dale Rodman's house, and talking to Brother Dale, and we'd be sitting all on the back porch and talking or just visiting together. And I say, "How's the garden going, Brother Dale?" And he'd say, "Oh, those stinking deer." And I'd say, "Well, what's happening?" He said, "Man, they love these tomato plants. They just keep coming in after my tomato plants." And I'd come back the next time, and there'd probably be a 4 or 5 foot high fence around his garden, and the tomatoes would be full, and tomatoes would be beautiful, and then I'd get a tomato and mayo sandwich from Mrs. Rodman, and I'd know, man, the world is all right. I got a tomato mayo sandwich from Mrs. Rodman. But you have to guard it. And most importantly, sometimes there's above ground things in a garden that can hurt it, but there's also things below the ground. And the worst thing that can happen is the thing that stunts their growth. Is when insects or gophers or the tunneling under the soil, the eating of roots, the destroying of the plants can happen from underneath. And we see that same thing in the Christian life. And it says it here in Colossians 2:8, it addresses two enemies that we need to be aware of. I would say this, the prevention of spiritual roots, number one, that the culture of this world is an enemy. The culture of this world is an enemy. Facets of our culture become so ingrained in our daily living, they appear to be innocent. We see them regularly, and they become the norm. I was watching television yesterday, and just noted here, it didn't surprise me. There were a million ladies and men out protesting yesterday the election of our new president. Some people were like, "Oh, I can't believe it. I cannot believe in 60 cities," or whatever it ended up being, that there was a million people out protesting. That doesn't surprise me. I watch the news, and you know that it is a bad way that culture is going. When somebody says, "Oh, two people died," and you go, "Oh, three people got shot over here. Oh, somebody took a truck into a group of people and killed 12 of them. Oh, you know, and we become desensitized from it. It becomes the norm. And we've got to be careful because in our culture, there are things that are eroding the roots of our Christian faith. They're coming after the roots of our belief system in our culture. The culture of this world is an enemy. And listen, I'm not an alarmist. I don't think you need to go in your house and lock the doors and never come out. I believe in separation. I don't believe in isolation. I don't believe we put a big fence around this place and, you know, we send one person to go out shopping for all of us and we stay in a compound. And I've seen how that goes. It doesn't go well usually. And I'm not talking about isolation. I'm talking, you know, we have to separate. But we've got to beware of the culture, because what happens is the really, really, really bad stuff we are aware of, the kind of the above ground stuff, we can kind of see that coming and say, well, that's just wrong and that's wrong. It's the stuff that's becoming the norm. It's the stuff that is seeping into the soil of our hearts, the cynicism and apathy that comes along with the culture, the skepticism and the constant questioning and complaining and the murmuring and disputing of everything that happens in our culture. And we've got to be careful of this. In the culture in which Paul wrote Colossians, the people of Colossae, the dangers were mysticism and Gnosticism. That is the belief that there might be a God, small g, but we don't know where. And we don't know how He works. And we don't know where He is. And we don't necessarily really understand Him. And in all of the world, you could never understand God. That's what Paul was up against when he's writing Colossians chapter 2. The culture of his day was that there might be a God, but you'll never find Him and you'll never understand Him and you'll never figure Him out. So what's the use? And He's mystic and He works in mysterious ways and you can never really understand Him or live for Him or please Him. That's what Paul was dealing with in the days that he was writing the book of Colossians. Paul was warning the Colossians against falling prey to the cultural philosophical trends of his day. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8 says, the very first word, beware. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You know, I think some people are deceived sometimes by fancy stuff, by fancy words. I was watching the news a while back, and the Pope was going from one place to another, and they have a big fancy car for him, and fancy clothes, and he's carrying this fancy cross in his hand, and it's all of this stuff, and people in bright red clothes and hats, and all the pomp that goes with it, and all of those things, and sometimes people just go, wow, that has to be real. I mean, look at those people. Look how serious they are, and look how wise they are, and look how educated they are, and he knows five languages, and listen, that's the philosophies of man. That is the philosophies of vain deceit. We are warned to beware, which means be alert to dangers. Be alert. Parents, I'm not saying today that you've got to be alert to every little single thing. It used to be a rule in our house, our children, until a certain age, weren't allowed to watch anything with real people in it. And one person laughed at us one time and said, you don't let them watch anything with real people? Yeah, if there's a human in it, they're not allowed to watch it. It was just like, anything with a human is bad. We've kind of tempered that a little bit as they're getting older, but it is amazing what's being allowed to be put on television. Just taking the TV and the entertainment that's coming across the TV and somebody said the other night at a certain amount of time, they just passed a rule about television that after 9 o'clock, they're allowed to say the F word on television at 9 o'clock and beyond now. Are you kidding me? The language that is being said, the things that they're allowed to show graphically, the things they're allowed to show sexually, and the subject matter, and the relationships that people have, and the transgenderism, and the sodomite culture that is moving into our entertainment and becoming mainstream. The Bible says we are warned to beware. We are to be alert to dangers. We must constantly and consistently be on our guard. Sometimes parents might think, I'm tired of it, man. I whatever, watch whatever. No, You got to be constant with it. You got to be consistent with it. You must never drop your guard. Paul shouts to us, if you are going to be rooted in Christ, if you are going to pursue Christ, if you are going to be planted in Christ, if you're going to be a spiritual tree, if you're going to be a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, if you're going to delight in the Lord, if you're going to get away from the things of the world, you've got to beware. You've got to be alert to the dangers. Why should we beware? Because he says, lest any man spoil us. You know, spoiling, we've got a different definition of that today. But in the Bible, spoiling meant carrying away. When they would defeat a city, they would spoil the city. They would take everything that city had that was worth anything. They would carry it away. They would carry away their women. They would carry away their children for generations to come. And they would carry away their precious artifacts. And they would carry away their gold and their silver. And they would carry away their religious articles. And they would carry them, would spoil the city. They would take their beautiful garments. They would take anything worth value. And the idea here that Paul is saying is the world wants to carry us away from our love and our loyalty to Christ and our love and our loyalty to one another and the fruit-bearing part of a Christian's life of giving out love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and kindness and faith and meekness and temperance. The giving out of that fruit and the bearing of that fruit, the devil is always trying to prevent that from happening. Paul says, beware. Lest any man spoil you and take away and carry away the precious things of your family. Carry away your marriage and carry away your children's loyalty and love for the family. Carry away the Word of God out of your life. Carry away the importance of a pastor and the importance of a church in your life. And carry away from you the importance of good counsel and the importance of good music. And beware. Lest any man spoil you, carry away from you the wonderful things that Christ has brought into your life because you're a believer, because you are a person of God. He says we're to be aware of the constant possibility of being spoiled through philosophy and vain deceit. You know, philosophy is the love of wisdom. Not necessarily the wisdom that comes through God's Word, but just the love of wisdom. Have you ever heard anybody, the Bible says, knowledge puffeth up. Have you ever heard anybody that's puffed up? They know a lot about a lot of things, and they know the fancy words, and they know they're a pretty educated person. Now listen, I'm not against education. I learned this afternoon, Jimmy over here, Jimmy and Tara, new to our church, we love them so much. I heard that Jimmy is a something in a USA engineer of some type. It took him to Germany, okay? So if you're traveling to Germany, you're a pretty big deal. And he didn't get that with just sitting back and not pursuing education and not pursuing, I'm sure, an engineering degree. Do you have an engineering degree, Jimmy? I'm sure with his position, you'd have to have those kinds of things. You learn these things about people and you say, wow, man, that's amazing. But there's people who take that education and they're not necessarily trying to make a difference with it or trying to help somebody with it. They're just wanting people to know how smart they are. They just want people to know how great they are and how educated they are and how many degrees they have on the wall and how you should respect them because of all the things that they know. Bible says, be careful because those kind of people are people that will carry you away with those fancy words. That philosophy, that love of wisdom, that I was looking at this Hellenistic age in which Paul spoke in Colossians was steeped in worldly philosophy and wisdom that pulled people away from the truth. And that was what Paul was guarding them against and telling them to beware of because they were constantly being drawn away and to follow with vain deceit. They changed the truth of God into a lie. He says in Romans chapter 1, he said, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now I'm telling you, you find somebody who is philosophical and who is a vain deceit because they want the attention on them and not the Lord. And listen, my whole desire in life as a pastor, that whatever influence I have as a pastor, whatever influence I have as a dad, whatever influence I have as a husband, I want it to be not looking at me and not what I do, but what I preach and what I say and how I train my children to be for God's honor and for God's glory. Well, listen, that's going to drive my roots towards Christ. That's going to drive and make my life more stable in Christ, not in me. There's always something that's out there that's trying to take away from the Lord's work, taking away from your wisdom and taking away from what God is doing in your heart. And you've got to be careful. The Bible says we're to beware of being spoiled through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and the rudiments of this world. The traditions of men are what men do because they've always done it. Sorry, Western Pennsylvania, I have to talk about this. Traditions of men are what men do because they've always done it. And just the fact that you've always done it does not make it the truth. Does not make it right. Does not make it the only way. And we have to be careful. Paul says, beware lest you be carried away, spoiled through the philosophy. Somebody presents it in a different way, in a fancy way. But the Bible says, vain deceit after the traditions of men and the rudiments of this world. We may feel comfortable and secure in our traditions, but when our traditions are not rooted in God's Word, they are to the traditions of men. And that's why I, for our family, and for our staff, and for our church, have been in a pursuit over the last several months in preparation for this theme this year. Knowing why I believe what I believe. That's why I've been looking at a series on standards and trying to get lessons together on these things. Why? Because I don't want to just believe the traditions of men. And me and my wife, I talk about this stuff all the time. Why do we do that? Where did that come from? Is it found in the Word of God? Can we, by principle, get to that standard, get to that thing that we're talking about, get to, why don't we drink alcohol? And some of you say, well, that's pretty easy. But I'm talking about the nuances. Why do we believe it's okay to have war? Why don't we believe in abortion? Why don't we wear certain things? Why don't we go certain places? Why don't we listen to certain things? Why don't we watch certain things? Why these things that we've decided are going to be our safeguards, our guardrails on the road of with God? Why do we do those things? And Paul said, be careful, because one of the things that can happen very easily is you just exist in this lane where somebody says, this is what you do. That's the traditions of men. And then it becomes the rudiments of this world. And Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3:6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye received of us. Paul said, there is a tradition we should be walking in. There is a Bible we should be using. There is a kind of music and a message of music that ought to be going into our ears. There ought to be things that are entering our eye gate. There are traditions that we have been delivered from the Word of God. He says later in the book of Jude, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Earnestly contend for it. Listen, I'm not against tradition. I am not against the pillars of truth. I am not against the things of God, if they're the things of God. The Bible says Paul delivered to the people of Thessalonica. He delivered to them traditions. And he said, I want you to withdraw people that are disorderly, that don't walk after the traditions that we delivered to you. So there's obviously things we should be doing, but there's things that people do because they've always done it. And that's what he warned about in Colossians chapter 2. Don't follow after the traditions of men, because of philosophy and vain deceit and fancy words and man's wisdom. Don't follow after those things because somebody presented it from a cultural sense, in a cultural way that made you believe it and made you think that way and swayed your thinking. Because you've been captured, you've been spoiled, you've been carried away from the traditions in which God wants us to be, believe in. The culture of the world is an enemy. But number two, the crowd of the ungodly is an enemy. The crowd of the ungodly is an enemy. This is something that prevents strong roots in Christ. This is something that prevents us from growing. And not only the culture, of this world, but the crowd of the ungodly. Look in verse number 8 there. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and here it is, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Listen, in Him. You want to find your satisfaction? It's in Him. You want to find what you should believe? It's in Him. You want to become a stable Christian? It's in Him. You want to have a good marriage? It's found in Him. We want to have a good church? We've got to grow in Him. We've got to be rooted, because the world, the crowd of the ungodly, is an enemy to these things. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not. The very first thing that the book of Psalm opens up and says, if you want to be a godly person, if you want to be blessed by God, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And all I'm here to tell you tonight is there are going to be people in your life that draw you closer to the Lord or pull you further away from the Lord. You've got to watch that crowd. You can't stand in the counsel of the ungodly. I was just reading in my devotion this morning. If you hang around an angry man, the Bible says, go not with an angry man, lest thou learn his ways. You've got to be careful who you're hanging around. You've got to be careful who you believe. You've got to be careful who you trust. And more so in these last days. I mean, we're good at telling our children, don't you talk to strangers. Well, hey, mom and dad, how about you be careful who you hang around? Well, they've always been my friend. Wait a second. The Bible says that we should not be standing in the way of sinners. We ought not to be taking the counsel of the ungodly. We should not be sitting in the seat of the scornful. When you get together with somebody and they make fun of the things of God, they make fun of God's Word, they make fun of godly things, godly counsel, godly leaders, if you are hanging around somebody like that, the Bible says that's not God's blessing. In the culture of this world, it's easy for a pastor to pick on the culture of this world. It is messed up. But we also have to talk about the crowd of the ungodly. We have to talk about that there might be times, there might be in your life, no co-workers that you can go with out to dinner after work. It just might be that way at your work. There just might not be a godly person there. You say, well, I'm trying to reach them. Wait a second. There's a difference in witnessing and a difference in friendship. And we've got to be careful. Because the Bible says you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't stand with sinners. You don't find yourself sitting in the seat of the scornful. Take it literally. Take it figuratively. Take it however you want there. You're going to have to be careful of the crowd you hang around. There might be family gatherings that you've got to dismiss yourself from. There might be church family and church members that are good people, but they're not spiritual people. You've got to be careful of the crowd of the ungodly. Because the Bible says, we've got to beware. Paul starts the whole thing, beware. It's the culture of this world carries you away from the things of God. You've got to beware when things are not in Him. When that entertainment is not in Him, be careful. When that person is not in Him, be careful. When that hobby is not in Him, be careful. The friends, the neighbors, that crowd of the ungodly, we've got to beware of. I don't know about you, but I have people in my life that when I leave them, I think, wow, I'm so thankful for that person. I'm so thankful to be around them. They just encourage me. I look around this room and just look right across this room, and every time I'm with Ryan Moffitt and B.J. Trout, and every time I'm with Dwayne Ross and Scott Palmer and Mr. Melvin and Mr. Tom, these guys in this room, Bill Kunkel, these guys that I hang around with sometimes, and some of you I don't hang around a lot with you, but man, there's just people in my life that I go out to lunch with them or we're just standing and talking, and I leave and you know what? My countenance has changed. My countenance is better. But guess what? There are people in all of our lives. And if we're not careful, we walk away from them and think, I don't know what I'm doing for the Lord. I don't know about this Christian thing. I don't know if we're going to make any difference in this world. We've got to be careful. Because the culture of this world is one of our enemies to the roots and to be implanted and to be progress and pursuing Christ and making progress for Him and being planted in Him and being stronger and more stable. The culture of this world is an enemy. Another enemy to that root is the crowd of the ungodly. Be careful. Be careful who your life is under the influence of. Be careful where you're getting your philosophies. Be careful where you're getting your belief system. Be careful what books you're reading. Be careful what TV shows you're watching. Be careful what music you're listening to. Be careful what programming, mid-afternoon programming you're watching on television. Be careful with whose counsel you're taking. Be careful when you share personal things with somebody. You're going to get counsel from people like that. You share something personal, somebody is going to have a instant bit of counsel for you. Be careful. It's not only the culture of this world is an enemy to our root system, being rooted and built up in Christ, but the crowd of the ungodly is another enemy. If we're not careful, we'll be carried away. Our love and our loyalty to Almighty God. May God help us in these things. Would you stand together with me for a word of prayer?